ahead. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 26, verse 1. Crystal, can you put up the sketch for me of the tabernacle? The one from, yes. So we are, I didn't realize how long we've been in this series until I started counting up the weeks. We have been in this series for now, this will be week 9 on the tabernacle. And I don't even think we've scratched the surface of what this amazing, complicated diagram has really meant to us as believers. And we have taken our time over the last few weeks to walk through and teach you about what it means. On Wednesday nights, we're going in depth. Our title on Wednesday night is A Gospel in the Tent. We've been having so much fun studying about the glory of God, the presence of God, what that means in your life. And then on Sunday morning, we've been talking about the pieces of furniture. So I want you to turn to Exodus 26, verse 1. I'm going to tell you where we are. If you have not been here, no worries. I'm going to catch you up pretty quickly. And then I also encourage you to listen to the podcast. They're free. They're available online at rohichurch.org/listen. And you can get the free downloads in the podcast so you can catch up in the series or go back and re-listen to things. Because I tell you, this is a very rich, rich, rich discussion. My mentor, Pastor Cal, he doesn't preach unless he preaches on the tabernacle. He's been preaching for, I don't know, 40-something years, and every message is about the tabernacle. It amazes me. Everything that we see in the body of Christ, everything who we are, our relationship with God, is summed up in this little diagram. And so let me tell you where we are. We talked about entering his gates. This little squiggly line is the gates. The Bible says in Psalms 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. If you've ever heard that passage, what they're saying is when you get ready to come to the presence of God, you got to show up with thanksgiving and praise. That's why we take so much time in praise and worship, because I feel like I don't want God to say, oh, y'all just ran up in here trying to talk to me. No, Lord, we spent time worshiping you and praising you so that you would come and sit down in the middle of our experience and show up, because this whole sequence is about the blueprint for meeting with God. So I'm trying to show you that God has a pattern for how he wants us to meet with him. That pattern has not changed. It's the same in the Old Testament. It's the same in the New Testament. From Genesis to Revelations, we can see that. Then we get to the altar, which represents sacrifice and death. We see that in the cross of Jesus Christ, where our sins are paid for. Then we go to the bronze laver, where we talk about baptism, being washed and purified of our sins, where all the residue of the sin come off. So at the altar, our sin was paid for, but at the laver, our sin was washed away. It was clean, like that residue that you know how you be feeling funky after you do something? The water cleanses that. You can be forgiven, but you'll feel funky. Yeah. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. That's just me. All right. And then in these two squares here, this is all covered under a tent. The rest is all open. We talked about going into the holy place. And in the holy place, we talked about the table of showbread, which is the bread of presence and of provision. We talked about the lampstand, which represented the light and how God is our light, but he wants us to be a light as a city hidden on the hill. We talked last week about the altar of incense, which is the altar of prayer, where we talked about the power of prayer and connecting with God. And then today, you would think we would go on the holies of holies. But we can't go to the holies of holies because there's a squiggly line between the holy place and the holies of holies. And that squiggly line is the veil. And the squiggly line separated us from the presence of God. And so what we're going to talk about today is that little squiggly line, which is the veil. And my subject today is access to an open heaven. Access to an open heavens. All right, y'all ready? You got Exodus 26, verse 1? Because that's the setup. You ready? I'm not even going to make you stand because some of y'all look like y'all was tired. You're one leg. You know what? No, I'm not going to say it. No, because then I get in trouble. Okay, so when I play the piano, you have to stand on one leg and play with the other. So I feel like peg leg, like I'll just be standing there like this. And at rehearsal on the other day, I was like, you remember this? That's what I feel like. Y'all don't know from Coming to America. Everything comes back to Coming to America. It all comes back to Coming to America. Always. Where's Alex? Oh, he ain't even in here for it. Okay, here we go. Hope that y'all cut that part of the recording out. Let's go. Exodus 26, verse 1. Amen. All right, just to lighten you up a little bit, you know. Exodus 26, 1. Let's read this together. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But before you do that, would you do me a favor? Lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. And we're going to be saying our Bible affirmation together. If you don't have one, just lift your hand up in the air. God will speak to you through the words on the screen. You got one. We got a screen. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can. There's something on the middle of that affirmation today that says, I can have what it says I can have. So today I want you to open your heart, because I'm going to show you how God is going to open up the heavens above you so that you can have access to have what the Bible says you can have. Somebody ought to start praising God. I know I'm a little excited. I'm like bubbling up. I'm trying to hold it back. Let's get to the passage. You ready? Exodus 26, verse 1. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. But for the sake of us reading together, we're going to be reading from the New King James Version. You ready? Just this one verse. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. Father, thank you so much this morning that you are going to show us how we have complete and utter, open, unhindered access to you. I thank you, Father God, that we no longer have to stand behind the veil, but that, Lord, we can come boldly before your throne of grace to ask for whatever we need in our time of needs. I thank you, Father God. Lord, move me aside. Holy Spirit, you come in and you teach this word with power and conviction. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. How many of you have ever tried to get into a door that you didn't have the right key for? How frustrating is it when you know that on the other side, there is either a person or a thing or something that you need to get access to help you through your day, but you can't get through it because there's a door that you don't have access to get through. Let me put it like this. If you've ever seen a bank vault, you know on the other side of that vault is a whole lot of money. And if you think about it, you could say, if I could get on the other side of that vault, all my troubles would be over. If I could do it legally, not illegally, but if I could get in there legally and they gave me like just 30 seconds. Come on, somebody. If I had just 30 seconds of access to the bank vault, I would be set for a while. But you know, they don't give me access to the vault. And here's what I want to talk to you about today, that there is in heaven everything available to you that you need. If you need healing, if you need deliverance, if you need a breakthrough, if you need financial blessing, if you need peace, if you need joy, it is all locked up in heaven. And there is a door, somebody say there's a door, where we struggle sometimes because we don't feel like we got access to everything on the other side. Some of you got problems you've been trying to solve, people you've been trying to get to move out of your way, things you've been trying to make happen, and you feel like there's a door that's blocking access so that you cannot get to or have what God has called you to have. Well, today I am going to help you understand how you have access to everything that you need on the other side of that door. We're going to crack the code to open that door today. Somebody else say hallelujah. All right, I need to know who I'm talking to. Do you feel like there's some stuff you have been trying to get access to, but you can't get access to? If so, I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to know this, that God's going to show you how to freely get what he's calling you to get today. Woo! Y'all, ain't nobody as excited as I am. I'm trying to hold it, people, but I can't hold it no more. All right, so if we look, put that sketch back up, you'll see that the whole point of the tabernacle was to get to the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God existed. Everything about this tabernacle, every piece, every thread, was about getting to a point where I can meet with God face to face. Because in God's presence comes the fullness of joy. And they've been trying to get there, but the problem is sin separated us. And so what God did was he created this veil. And the way it would work is anybody could come to the outer court at any time to offer sacrifices for their sins because they messed up. Only the priest could go into the holy place, and they had to go in there daily to tend to the table of showbread, the lampstand, and the altar of incense. And there they would get close to God, but not quite all the way. But only once a year could a high priest walk all the way through all of the outer court to the inner court and get into the holies of holies to meet with God. Access only once a year. Now, it's interesting that the only thing that separated the priest from the presence of God was that veil. It was just the veil. Now, some of y'all will say, well, I don't see the problem. Why don't we just lift the veil up and go in and talk to God? Because God had set a standard up that if you did, you would die. So there was an order for how God wanted us to come to him. Now, what's interesting is I've discovered that the word veil is not used in the Old Testament at all. It's only used in the New Testament. And when they talk about it in this passage in Exodus 26, verse 1, he said, make for me a curtain. There's really no difference between the curtain and the veil. But what I want you to kind of think about for just a second is this curtain was not made out of one piece of material. They had to take thread and wove this together, blue and purple and scarlet thread. And they had to weave in this cherubim design and they had to create it. This veil was something to be about 30 feet wide and about 4 feet thick. And it would take them, they would have to work on this and put it together, and they would transport this huge veil through the wilderness, and they did it everywhere they moved. They packed this veil up and moved it for 40 years. The whole tabernacle they would pack up and move. And so as we talk about this, you need to understand that God is so serious about the separation that sin created that he created this really thick veil to say you cannot get between me and it. It was so serious. Now, the tabernacle was all about a rendezvous spot. It was all about where we get to meet with God. And you could not go into that holies of holies, that third dimension, without the presence of God showing up there, where God actually showed up and met with us. So here's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you because it's going to sound like I'm jumping ship, but I want to show you what God really wanted us to see first, which is an open heavens. So I want you to look at this. Look at this passage. Malachi 3:10. It's going to seem a little bit out of order, but it does make sense. Malachi 3:10 is a picture in the Old Testament of what we see that God was looking for when we created the veil and how he was trying to break it open. The Bible says, and you're going to say, you just want my money, Pastor. No, I'm trying to teach you about an open heaven, so just hang in there. The passage says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I want you to understand that God says, here's a key to unlock the veil. If you obey me and do what I tell you to do, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Watch what he says. And see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. What does that mean, open for you the windows of heaven? It means that that door that was blocking, you now have access and you can freely come before me anytime you want. There is no once a year, there's no problem, because if you can get to me, what he says is, and I will pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough for it. I started with this passage because I want you to see that God has a picture, and we use finances to help you understand it. He has a picture of what an open heaven or open access look like. What that means is if you trust the Lord and you tithe and you do what the Lord's telling you, you heard a testimony this morning, God will just start pouring out stuff on you to the point where you don't have room enough to hold on to it. What that means is there is no block between you and God. How many of you ever felt like God wanted to get something to you, but it was something standing in the way? Look, God's like, if you do what I tell you to do, the blocks are gone. And there is an open access between me and you where stuff can freely flow from the kingdom of God, from heaven, right on into you. There are some times when I feel like there are things that God has promised me, but I feel like it's just being held up for some reason. And I'm like, well, God, did I do something? Sometimes it's just a block. And God will say, look, if you do this, I will open up the windows of heaven and I will begin to release to you the things that you desire. Now, I'm going to prove to you that an open heaven existed in the garden. Because the garden is the original place. It's the original rendezvous point. It is the point where God shows up and we have direct and complete utter access to God without any barriers between us. Watch this, because this is going to be so good. Ready? You ready to learn about the open heavens? All right. Genesis 2:9. And the Bible says, and out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God made this amazing garden, and it sustained itself. They didn't have to work for anything. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all wish that you lived in a garden, you didn't have to go to work? Matter of fact, that's what most of us want out of retirement, where we just ain't got to go to work. We just got food on the table. Not only do I want to retire with a chef and a maid. I don't just want to retire. I want to retire with somebody taking care of me. I mean, because I feel like that's the real garden experience. I mean, we all supposed to be trying to get back to the garden, Jesus. Get me back to the point where I ain't got to cook. I just wake up and my table is set. Come on, I ain't got to clean a dish. That's pretty much what the garden was like, where everything they need was right there for them, and they didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to toil for it. They didn't have to fight for it. They didn't have to cuss nobody out to get it. They didn't have to beg their boss, can they have it? All they did was they would just wake up in the morning, it was right there. Everything in the Bible is about trying to restore us back to the state of the book of Genesis, where we had complete and utter access to all that God has for me. And God had set up this system where God would show up in the middle of the day. The Bible says in the cool of the garden, God would just show up and start talking to him. There was no barrier between God coming in. There was no barrier between them talking to God. There was no, you ever prayed and felt like you don't know if God's hearing? God would just show up and walk, and you'd be like, God, you hear me? He'd be like, I heard you. Because he was freely accessed. And what God did, because there is no love without choice, is God put the tree of life right there in the middle of the garden to give them an opportunity to determine if they would choose to obey him or not. Because love comes with choices. Let me tell you something. If it was only one man in the world and only one woman in the world, you talking about I love you, you don't know if you love them. Daddy, you ain't got no other choice. The reason why you can look at your spouse and say, I love them, is because out of all the people in the world, I chose you. Come on, somebody. But if ain't no choice, there is no real love. And so God says, I want to know, you cannot have love without testing to see, do you really love me? And so God gave them a choice. And when he gave them a choice, they messed up. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate, their eyes were open. And Satan was like, oh, if you do this, you're going to be just like us. Now watch this, Genesis 3:21. I'm setting this up because this is important. 3:21, it says, also for Adam, this is after they've fallen, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin. I talked about this being the sacrifice where he had to kill an animal to create skin to cover their sin and clothe them. Verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. So Satan was right but wrong too. Satan said, if you're going to be like one of, you're going to be like God. And God says, yeah, they are like one of us. But the problem is now they know good and evil. Watch this. And now, lest he put out his hand and also eat from the tree of life and live forever. What was the problem with that? God said, you are now in a fallen state. If I leave you in the garden and you eat from the tree again, you are going to forever be in a fallen state, and I can't get you out. So here's what I'm going to have to do. He says, therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden, or out of the presence of the Lord, to Eden, out of the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from which he was taken. Now catch this, verse 24. So he drove out the man and he placed a cherubim. Now what's on the veil? The Bible says, put a picture of a cherubim there. Why? Because the cherubim guards my presence. Put a cherubim there at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life, which meant when they messed up, God said, I'm going to place an angel right there on the outside of the Garden of Eden so you cannot get access to that place where you freely had everything you needed, where you could easily access me. I'm going to set this up so they stand there with a flaming sword. So anytime you try to come, you can't get there. So sin created this massive separation where God had to send an angel to guard his presence from us. Where everything before that was easily accessed. He said, at this point now, you're going to have to go work for your food. Oh, Jesus. You're going to have to work the ground. Childbearing is going to be difficult. You're going to have a hard time right now just to do what was so easy in my presence. Let me tell you something. That's what you're experiencing today. It's hard for you to get up and go to work every day. You know why? Because you were never meant to have to work this hard. You were never meant to have to work this hard. But because of sin, because we have been denied access where God freely gave us everything we needed, we now have to get up every Monday morning when we don't want to and slide ourselves out of bed and put our makeup on to go deal with people we definitely don't like and don't want to see, to go get some money that we know it ain't nearly enough of what I'm worth, to go then go home and slave over our stuff. Come on, y'all not understanding the toil. All of that came because we didn't have access. Access was denied. Access was not granted. Think about this. Your body was designed to fix itself. You ever cut yourself? And you notice that you don't even have to work for that cut to heal? Matter of fact, you got to do more work to keep it open than you do to leave it and let it heal. If you keep putting wounds on it and throwing dirt in it, it ain't going to heal. But if you just leave it alone, the cells will regenerate and form over themselves. Why? Because our bodies, look, in the garden, were always made to live forever. There was no cancer in the garden. Watch this. There was no diabetes in the garden. There was no sickness and high blood pressure in the garden. In the presence of God, we had access to everything we need, and our bodies would regenerate. And you ever pluck a hair out, another one will grow. All the people who are bald, the bald men, they ought to start. Ain't none of them in here. Y'all ought to praise the Lord, because in the garden, you was meant to always have hair. I mean, nowadays they got new stuff and new things for men too, but that's another story. It was a self-sustaining system in the garden where everything reproduced after itself. That's why everything had a seed so it could keep reproducing without you working hard. God had this set up. Even if you cut yourself, your body, your blood will start coagulating so that it can stop bleeding all by itself, and it'll create a scab. Look, let me tell you something. The access is what we want. We want to live in a way that if the doctor tells me I'm sick, I can be in God's presence and know that healing is right there. I want to live in a way that if I'm struggling financially, I can go get in God's presence and God will release something where I don't ever have to worry about finances again. See, this is where we're all trying to get to. But the problem is we got a cherubim on the outside with a flaming sword saying, oh, no, there is sin that's separating you from God. And we got to figure out how to break that veil open. We got to figure out how to get back to this open heaven. Now, if you think about it, I hate to use this term because I really don't want to quote. Well, let me just be careful. Our current administration has a saying, and it was his platform for which he ran for president, which was build that wall. He would say, build that wall. We need to create a separation because we got to build that wall. And what happened is when sin happened, God said, I got to build that wall. There has to be a separation between you and me. Because sin is there and God is holy. He can't stay in that. All right. And here's the other reason why. Isaiah 55:8. You got to build a wall because your thoughts, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours and my thoughts are not yours. Look, I'm going to have to build a wall between us because you don't think like me no more. You trying to figure out how to do things on your own, and you everything you got that you're trying to figure out ain't got nothing to do with my way. Jesus. I got to build a wall because they don't think like me. They don't talk like me anymore. They don't walk like me anymore. They don't act like me anymore. But in the garden, you were made in my image, and you look like me, and you talk like me, and you walk like me. And so we could hang out, and we could talk. But now that sin has crept in, I got to build a wall because my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I understand what's going on inside of you, but we don't think the same anymore. You ever felt like, God, I don't understand what you're doing? That's because his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You ever say, well, God, I don't understand why you didn't just hurry up and come through? And he's like, because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I know what I'm doing. You don't. There is a wall. But see, when we can break down the wall and get access to God, we can then begin to understand his thoughts. And we can begin to understand his mind, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in us and we have the mind of Christ. And the Spirit of God interprets the things of God so that you can understand what God is doing. So if you want to know what God is doing, you're going to have to figure out how to get behind the veil and seek God so that you can hear and understand what God is doing in the midst of your situation. God, I don't understand. I've been working so hard. Why is this not working? Get behind the veil. You'll figure it out. Because he'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. God, I've been trying to solve this problem for weeks. Those of you who work on jobs that are just stressing you out, just get behind the veil. Because if you figure out how to get behind the veil, you can get peace and the Lord can start to download how to fix the situation. How many times do we keep trying to fix the situation because we think our thoughts are so good? You ain't that smart. Get behind. behind the veil. If we can get access to him, I mean consistent access to the presence of God, where we can come and talk to him and he can freely speak to us, let me tell you something. You'll never have to worry about how to do anything ever again in your life, because he'll show up. I feel like I'm losing y'all. Look, this is not a geographical wall between us and God. It's an intellectual and emotional. It's more than just this territorial boundaries. It's something that's happening in our mind that's keeping us from understanding things the way God is. And God is saying, today I'm going to show you we got to tear that wall down if we're going to have access to the things that God has for you. This is a separation. All right, y'all don't like that. Y'all don't like this. Let me tell you this. Let me see if I can put it this way. There's this old Indian proverb that says, if a bird and a fish fell in love, where would they live? Some of y'all need to sit on that later at home. You don't know what I just said. If a bird and a fish fell in love, where would they live? Because if the bird comes where the fish is comfortable, the bird will drown. And if the fish comes where the bird is comfortable, the fish will die. But the problem is not that they don't love each other. The problem is that we live in two different habitats or two different worlds. You see, the problem is not that God doesn't love us. It's that we live in a world that's fallen, and he's like, I can't go hang out down there with you. And you can't come up here and hang out with me lest you die. So because I live in this fallen state of wickedness and this fallen state, I love God and he loves me, but where should we live together? That's why he made the tent. Because the tent's the place. All right, so let's get to this. Now I'm ready. Now, I want to show you places in the Bible where God visits. Because what a bird can do with a fish is visit, but they can't hang out and dwell there. So if they love you, they'll visit you, right? Y'all not? Okay. So we're going to talk about the visitations where God shows up and the heavens open. One of them is with Jacob. Jacob was at a place called Bethel. And when he was at this place called Bethel, he saw something. It's Genesis 28:12. Bible says, this is Jacob. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. And its top reached to heavens. And there the angels, here's that word angels again. Y'all see how the angels are showing up? The cherubims were there with the swords before. Now we see the angels showing up, and the angels are ascending and descending on it. Now Genesis 28:17 says, a little bit further, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. There had not been a point where they could meet with God, so God showed up and did a visitation. And when he showed up and said, look here, Jacob, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you that the heavens are open. Here we go. And there's a ladder where angels are going back and forth, and you now got access to my presence. And Jacob got so excited that Jacob said, I need to mark this spot, because this is the spot where me and God met. This is the spot where God showed up. So Jacob said, I need to put a rock down so I know where God is going to show up, because I want to be able to come back to the point where I got to experience this open access to God, because it don't happen everywhere I go. That's the reason some of y'all keep coming back to this church, because you had an experience with God here that you didn't have nowhere else. And you said, I got to go back to the place where I met with God, where God showed up, where he spoke to me, where he talked to me, where he told me he loved me, where he told me he cared about me. You got to find what's your spot. Where do I go where God will show up? And I want to tell you, it's not one location. But if you've got a church home that's feeding you, that's connecting you with God, stop running everywhere. Because that's the spot where I meet with God. That's the spot where God shows up. If I go there, God's going to show. And some of us, we have those spots. I got a little chair. That's my spot in my room. When I sit in that chair and I read my Bible, he shows up. And when I'm in that, because you got to understand this. Nowadays, I'm going to prove to you that it's not just one location. But back in the Old Testament, because God's visitations were so rare, they got so excited because they didn't see it. The problem with us is we got access and we don't know it. So we don't get excited about the access we get. So we just kind of take the access casually. because you've always had access. Y'all don't understand this. You've always had visits from God. You've always had the ability to hear from God. You've always had God showing up. So you don't value the access you got. But I want to encourage you to start valuing the access you have, because if you value the access you have, you'll start getting excited when it's time to wake up in the morning and spend time with God. Because when it's time for me to wake up in the morning and spend time with God, I got complete and utter access. It's the spot where I see heavens open, where God can say, come on up and get whatever you need, and I'll come down and give you whatever you need to have, because it's complete and open access to Almighty God. I don't think we understand how valuable it is to have this access. But Jacob was crazy. He was like, oh my God, I'm going to call this place Bethel, which means it's the house of God. God showed up and met me there. It's the place where demons started to tremble when he was there. It's the place where I feel the glory of God. It's the place where yokes were broken off my neck. It's the place where I received deliverance. It's the place where you spoke to me and I got free. When the glory of the Lord falls in the place, you ought to just sit down in the glory and say, thank you, God, that you're here. Thank you, Lord, that you showed up. You ought to just rest in the glory and hang out in the glory. Because if you can find the spot where God's going to show up and where God's going to speak, you can just sit down and realize that something's going to happen there, that some yoke is going to be broken, that a demon is going to have to get out and flee, that sickness will have to move, that your situation will have to change. You got to find the spot where God is going to show up and sit down and rest and let him do what he's going to do in your life. So Jacob said, I'm going to lay my head on this stone right here. And he anointed the rock. Let me show you another one. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1, another visitation. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month. That's pretty specific. On the 13th day, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month. That means whoever's writing this knew exactly where he was at the exact spot and exact moment when something miraculous happened. He said, as I was among the captives or the slaves. He said, I was among folks who were in bondage. And here's the location. I was by the river Chebar. Watch this. That the heavens opened, and I saw the vision of God. He said, I was minding my business, but I know exactly where I was. Look, watch this. I was amongst people who were held captive, and yet God still opened the heavens before me. When the heavens opened up, he saw a vision of God, even though he was surrounded by captivity. Look, it don't matter what your circumstance is. When you're under an open heaven, the open heaven is on you. It's not on your circumstance. So it don't matter if you locked up in jail. It don't matter if you bound and tied up in some relationship that you don't want to be in. It don't matter if you stuck on some job you can't stand. It don't matter if you financially struggle. Because why? The open heaven's over you. It's not over your situation. He showed up in the middle of this bondage where people were trying to be free, but he showed him freedom. God doesn't care what's around you. He cares what's inside of you. Ooh. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You know what? I hear the Lord opening heavens, right? Y'all missing this. You hear the rain happening? God's like, I'm opening heavens for you. Most people, because you don't understand what a floodgate is. A floodgate is an open heaven where you get saturated and poured and drenched with the blessings and the goodness and the presence of God. And God is like, I'm trying to open up the heavens over you. And some of y'all are like, ooh, my hair. He's like, forget your hair. I'm trying to destroy some stuff. I'm trying to break some stuff. I'm trying to free some stuff. I'm doing something. I got an open access and an open heaven for you. And you got to grab hold of this and know that it doesn't matter what you've been through. It don't matter where you've been in captivity. It don't matter if you've been stressed or worried. The open heaven will rest over you, and I will show up in the middle of your situation. Okay, all right. Let me finish this. Isaiah 6:1. Y'all, this is good stuff. I'm trying to show you that there is no limit, no boundary, no block between you and God. Now, in the Old Testament, I'm showing you where God shows up. Watch this. In the year that King Uzziah died. Look, this Isaiah was like, I'm being real specific. I know exactly what happened. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, watch this. Above him stood the seraphim. Look, that's the same thing as cherubims in a different style, painted on the veil. Look, God always got angels around him. Watch this. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. With two, he flew. And one cried out to the other. Here's what they're praying. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Why do you think the angels keep saying every time you see him show up, holy, holy, holy? What I tell you, God sits down in the praises of his people. So as they're praising him, what they're doing is creating an atmosphere for him to hang out and sit there. You want access to God, you better start learning how to praise and worship. Because as you worship God and you say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, God just sits right on down and say, yes, come on, keep talking about me. Keep saying this to me. Keep speaking to me. I like what I'm hearing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he seeks a worshiper. He's looking for worshiper. He's trying to find people who will give him glory and praise so he can come and sit down and dwell. So as you say, holy, 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 you invite the presence of the Lord to show up in the middle of your situation, which gives you complete and utter access to him. The whole earth is full of his glory. Heaven is in your house. Heaven's in your car. Heaven's in the church. Heaven's in your bathroom. Heaven's in your bedroom. Heaven's at your job. Anywhere you are, you begin to praise God. Heavens open up and the glory of the Lord fills the place. It shows up right there. Heaven's at your child's school. Come on, somebody, y'all missing this. Sometimes in the middle of situations, I just got to say, thank you, Jesus. So he'll just show up so I don't cuss nobody out. Y'all don't know. Sometimes what I think God does is God comes in. This is going to be a really funky illustration, but I got to give it to you because I think it's good. In the Old Testament, he couldn't give you all of him. So what he would do, what he would just show up and flash you. Because I can't give you all, I can't let you see all of me, because if you see all of me, you're going to die. But you need to know that I'm with you, so I'm just going to give you a flash. I'm just going to have to let you know I love you. I'm just going to have to let you know I got a plan for you. I'm going to have to let you know that I'm right here, because I can't let you see all of me. So in the Old Testament, we would see flashes of God showing up. See, the flash is where you get called into ministry, because you want the full-on detail so you know exactly what God's saying. God's saying, you don't need no full detail. Look, I called you. I've called you to my. No, God, no, 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 no. I'm going to want to see everything, God. I'm going to need you to work it out. Abraham is like, if I was Abraham and you told me to just go, I'd be like, where are we going? Because, see, God is like, I'm going to have to flash to show you my goodness. Because if I give you all my goodness, no man can see my face and live. So I can't give it all to you. So what we see in the Old Testament and what we begin to see in our lives is God is not trying to overwhelm you with things. If God told you his full plan for your life, you would be freaking out. So what he does is flash and you go, oh my God, you got a vision for me. Oh my God, there's a purpose. All you need is a glance. That's why the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's impossible that those who have once tasted of this heavenly gift can walk away. All you need is a little taste. You can. Some of you are here because he just gave you a little taste. He said, look, I just want to show you that I love you. Just look, let me give you a little check right here so you can see that I still love you and I'm good. Let me just open the way and give you a little job so you can see that I'm good. Because if I showed you what I'm going to do, you couldn't handle it. That's the reason why there was a veil, because he said they can't handle all of me at once. All they can get is a little flesh. And so God works in flashes with some of you. This is the reason why you have visions and you don't know why you have visions, because he's trying to flash heaven before you. He's trying to flash his glory before you. He's trying to show you what he's trying to do before you. But you have got to stop being like, God, let me see everything, and say, thank you for the flash. Thank you for the small glimpse. Thank you, Lord. All I need is a taste. All I need is a taste. Isaiah 6:4, this is still him. King Uzziah had died, and Isaiah's in the temple, and he gets this flash of God. And the Bible says, and the post of the door were shaken. by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. God's presence showed up. Isaiah's like, I see the Lord. I got a glimpse of the Lord. And when Isaiah cried out, watch this. The post, you know how big posts are? That's a little post. Let's look at that post. If you could say move and see that post shake, you would be freaked out right now. Watch this. Put it back up. The post of the door was shaken by the voice of him. It's not capital H. It's him, Isaiah, who cried out to the Lord. So Isaiah gets a glimpse of God, and Isaiah says, whoa! And the doorpost starts shaking. Y'all missing this. You want to see how you can move God and how you can move the doors of access. Cry out to God and you'll see God start breaking stuff up. Open your mouth and start saying, God, I need you. And you'll start seeing stuff shaking. Come on, you got to open your mouth and realize that the power is in your tongue. If you will open your mouth, all the doors that have been blocking you will be broken open. It was intangible, the voice. There is no physical thing to the voice because there is power in your mouth. Your words move things. That's why every time you get in trouble, the enemy wants you to shut up. But the post didn't move until he opened his mouth and cried out. Now I want you to see this. When he opened his mouth and cried out, what happened? The house was filled with what? What smoke? Didn't we talk about that yesterday? Incense, the presence of God, the power of God, prayer. When I prayed, come on, y'all missing it. God showed up and the glory of God kicked in. You want to have complete access to God? Open your mouth and cry out to him and the heavens will start to shake and you'll see God show up and the glory of God will walk right in the middle of your situation. Okay, y'all don't like that. Y'all don't like that. Remember Jesus and Jordan at the bottom? Jesus was getting baptized at the Jordan River. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 3. Yeah, you got to see this. Watch this. Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God. Watch this. The presence of God left heaven and descended and came right on him right there. Now watch this. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. When Jesus obeyed God, look, watch this. When you do what God tells you to do, here's Almighty God saying, I'm going to go to my cousin who John the Baptist looked really weird. He out there eating bugs in the middle of the wilderness. And he talking about Jesus, he's coming. Well, who the heck is coming? The King of God is coming. The Kingdom of God is coming. And Jesus is like, I got to go to him and get baptized. People are like, who are you? He shows up. Don't nobody know he's Jesus. Nobody knows he's the Son of God. Nobody knows he's Almighty God. He shows up and does this ridiculous act, submits himself to his cousin, gets dunked in some water. The heavens open up and people are like, shut up. The Spirit of the Lord flops down on him. Watch this. God speaks. When you obey God and do what God tells you to do, you get access to God. You begin to stand under an open heaven. Because Jesus obeyed, God rent the heavens, separated the heavens so that he could now show up and speak over Jesus. You say, what did he say? He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You want to know, you say, God, I need encouragement. I feel so down. God said, do the last thing I told you to do, and then I will open the heavens, show up, and I'll start speaking to you about who you are. I'll start speaking to you about what I'm trying to do in your life. I'm trying to tell you how to get access. You got to worship, you got to obey God, and you'll get the access. Oh, whoa, this is messed up. Watch this. Remember Stephen got stoned? You know what happened when he got stoned? This was a martyr. He died. Acts chapter 7:54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he being, this is Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven because he was obeying God when he was oppressed. He could look up and see heaven and see the glory of God and see Jesus standing right there at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open. You want to see the heavens open when you're going through hell? Obey God when you're being oppressed. Trust God when you're going through it. Believe God and stay faithful to his word, and you will see he is being killed at this moment. And at the moment where people are throwing rocks and killing him, all he can see, he ain't looking at the rock. He ain't looking at who throwing the rock. He ain't looking at what they said. He don't care what they're doing. All he sees is the heavens are open. Guess what? You can kill me, but I'm going right up there. Access. He got a vision. Bible says where there's no vision, the people will perish. Well, what I want you to do, I want you to understand something. Here's the most important part. You ready? When Jesus got on the cross, the Bible says in Matthew 27:51, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn. How thick was the veil? 4 feet. You could take 2 horses, put them on both sides, and they couldn't rip the veil. But Jesus, when he died, the Bible says the veil was torn from top to bottom. You got to know this. It was at the precise moment when Jesus cried out to God, it is finished. Watch this. Because Jesus opened his mouth and said, it's finished. God says, now I'm going to rip that thing that has separated me from man all along. It was Father God who ripped it from the top to the bottom. Y'all are missing this. Which means it was nothing you did. Which means there's nothing you can do. You have access to God. All you got to do is use the access you got. Don't make sense if you got the combination to the vault if you stay on the other side and don't punch it in. Worship God. Obey God. Cry out to God. And you punch in the numbers, and he then opens it up. Completely available to him. And then here's what's funny. It wasn't just, put that Matthew 27:51 back up. It wasn't just that the veil was torn. Here's the conclusion. But the earth shook too. That means, you know what an earthquake is? It's the earth splitting. Oh, Jesus. And the rocks split open. So the veil got ripped. Jesus ripped the veil, and everything standing in between me and God, this earth that we used to think that was not going to produce, it quaked and shook and woke up. These rocks, any rock or boulder that's keeping you from God, it split. Everything got ripped open when God said, it's finished, and he tore the temple from top to bottom. You want to see stuff get ripped open in your life? Trust that God is ripping the veil. He's creating access where you can get between what you're going through to God. Look, here's what I want you to do with this week. I want you to act like you're standing under an open heavens. What does that mean? If you knew you had complete access to God, what would you get? What would you ask for? What would you do? Stop acting like you don't have that access. Trust the process. You've been praying for God to help you out with finances or school or healing or deliverance. Just open your mouth and ask. Come on, stand to your feet. We're going to act like we're under an open heaven right now. Some of you are waiting for somebody else to pray for you. I hear the Lord saying, we're not going to do that. You need to open your own mouth. What I tell you, when you open your mouth, the doorposts start shaking. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Start playing some music. What's on the other side that you've been feeling there's a block? Maybe the block is you. Maybe the block is somebody else. Maybe the block is cancer. Maybe the block is a broken heart. Maybe the block is your job. Maybe the block is finances. Maybe the block is a family member or a friend. I want you to get that in your mind. And I want you to think about what's on the other side of that door. And understand just for a second that God is ripping the veil and breaking down that door. And saying, what do you want? Turn that music up. Father God, right now, here's what I need. If you're here today, and you know that there's something on the other side that you have not had access to, and you're like, I'm sick of this. I'm ready to get what God has for me. Get to the altar. I want to pray for you. We're going to pray these blocks off today. We're going to pray them off. We're going to pray that God gives you access to everything that he promised you, every promise that he has made that feels like it's being held up. If you got a promise, you feel like it's being held up, you got something that God has been trying to do, and you realize that there's some things that are keeping it from happening, I need you to get to the altar. Look, I'm not going to beat you up. Matter of fact, I might not even touch you, but we're going to pray for you today. We're going to pray that those blocks break. Come on, everybody at the altar, lift your hands right now. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against every block. We come against every hindrance, and I thank you, Father God, that those blocks are not of you. I declare, Father God, that we have complete and utter access to you. We speak to those doors. We speak to those veils. We speak to those things that are hindering us from experiencing and having all that you've called us to do. And we command them with our voice to come down right now in the spiritual realm. I open up and unlock the access to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is over you, and you have complete and utter access. The Lord says, ask me for what you wish. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask me for what you wish and I will give it to you. Come on, just begin to open your mouth and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I have access. Thank you, God, that I have it. It's available to me. Thank you, God, that there is no block. Come on, believe by faith that the block is gone, that the block is destroyed, that God is opening up the door right now. I see right now. I sense the earth is quaking. I sense the earth is shaking. I hear rocks splitting. I declare that the veil, God is tearing it from top to bottom right now. The work has been finished on the cross, and we believe by faith that it is done, it is settled, it is finished. Come on, begin to praise the Lord right now. Come on, I need you to begin to praise him. I need you to begin to praise God like you already got that thing you've been believing him for. Go get her. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every block to your future, every block to the things that God has promised you, every block in your marriage, every block in your health, I declare it be gone right now in the name of Jesus. And I release, Father God. Hey! Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just begin to praise the Lord. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Woo! Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. 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 I sense that some of you, the block is you. You don't believe. You stop believing what God told you he was going to do. I'm going to pray for you. But what I'm going to do, because I don't want to hold everybody hostage who doesn't want to be here or who has other things to do, I'm going to dismiss us, and I'm going to pray for those of you who feel like you just need something. You want it to drop, but you don't know why. Maybe it's you. I just want to pray for you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dismiss service. And those of you who feel like this is Bethel, where God is showing up and speaking, y'all stay. Now, that don't mean something's wrong with you if you got to go. It's okay. No judgment here. We get you. It's cool. No problem. But if you sense God's doing something and he ain't done, I want you to stay. If you feel like, hey, I got what I needed today. Deuces. Cool. Deuces. Love you. Hug you. See you later. Ready? Okay. So let me bless you. Father, thank you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with each of us henceforth, now, and forevermore. I declare right now, Father God, that even those who are leaving, there is under an open heaven, that something is breaking this week, that you're doing something miraculous. You're doing something amazing. So, God, I release those who have to leave today to go. And I declare for those of us who are staying that you're getting ready to do something miraculous in Jesus' mighty name. When people ask how you're doing, my response be, okay, if you got to go, I dismiss you. But if not, stay.